Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers. You know, I loved when we did it, the time we did it in Spanish. Can we do it in Spanish from now on?
We should do it in Latin next week.
Latin.
I'll get my son to work on that.
Yes, there we go.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk.
Right, Wainy Weedy Wiki.
No. Ave Ale Atque.
Anyway, we're broadcasting this week from the Division of Folklore. Here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, motivated by this letter from Chip Pearson. Dear Ray and Tom. Notice that, Ray and Tom. Mm. On your show today, you've been explaining some of the more obscure references and inside jokes. Oh, that was weeks ago, wasn't it?
Well,
weeks
ago,
yeah.
Pretty current for us to be reading a piece of mail
that's
only a few
that
weeks
have
old.
Appeared, parenthesis, as much as anything can appear on radio, on your show over the years. I've been a loyal listener for many years now, and I do get most of the inside jokes and seemingly meaningless comments. But please tell, what is the roof snow theory? I'm sure that it has all the gravitas of other Car Talk conjectures, such as the awe-inspiring choke pull-off hypothesis and the nearly divine it's the stingy man who pays the most maxim. I await your response.
He Chip. Does.
Well, we have alluded, I will say, to the roof snow theory many times. And in my opinion, it's going to be one of the most cockamamie theories I've ever heard.
I'll have to explain it since it's my theory.
Yes, it is your theory. I don't want to lay claim to
this. I remember
this.
Many years ago going out to shovel snow from my driveway and being dismayed that the amount of snow in my driveway was always considerably more than they said had fallen on the weather forecast. You know, we got 8 to 12 inches of snow.
Are you using dismayed in the sense of surprised or dismayed in the sense of disappointed? There are two meanings. They're quite different, actually.
Generally, dismayed means disappointed.
Yeah.
I was disappointed there was more snow in my driveway than they said had fallen. So they said at Logan Airport, we recorded 14 inches of snow.
You had 18.
And I had 20 inches of snow in my driveway. Not figuring that the guy next door was blowing his snow into mine before I got up. And I realized that at Logan Airport, they're measuring it out on the runway someplace, right? They go out on the runway, they put a stick in four or five places, they average it out. They say, 14 inches. However, in residential neighborhoods where there are houses with pitched roofs, okay?
Yeah.
Then there's not 14 inches of snow on your roof. Why not? Because the snow slides off. And when it slides off, where does it go?
Your neighbor's driveway.
Onto your driveway.
This is what the roof snow theory is?
Of course. So there is more snow in residential areas.
That have to be shoveled.
That has to be shoveled. There's more snow on the ground because of the snow that is not collecting on the rooftops because they're not flat. If the roofs were all flat, then it would be homogeneous distribution. But because they're not flat, there is, and you could figure out, it's the sine of the angle, whatever the coefficient of friction of snow is, depending on granularity or water content thereof.
Yes, yes.
And I haven't got time to explain all the mathematics here.
But I'm sure you've worked it out. And so
there are many factors that have gone into this. I've written a 25-page paper on it. I'm waiting for publication. I keep sending it to Scientific America. And
they keep sending it back.
Anyway.
That's good. Now that I understand it, I like it.
Well, I knew you would. And anyway, if you have a question for us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Kay from Colorado.
Kay with an A-Y?
Yeah. Kay with an A-Y.
From Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people from Colorado simply identify themselves as being from the state of Colorado, and I guess that must mean something.
Well, because the state of Colorado is a state of mind.
A state of mind, and it doesn't matter where in Colorado. You could be on the top of a mountain or in one of the oceans that are out there.
Right.
And you would be in the same. Doesn't matter where you are.
Well, actually, I'm on the western slope in a little town called Montrose. Do you know where that is?
Never heard of it.
Of course not.
Well, see, what difference would it have made if I had said I'm from Montrose?
I don't even know where Colorado is.
Oh, you've missed life.
My brother is such a yahoo that I couldn't get him to Colorado if my life or his life depended on it.
I've never been west of Pennsylvania.
Well, that's okay. We don't let Yahoos in the state.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, we'd have to sneak them in. Maybe. Well, maybe there's hope for him. I don't know. Anyway, Kay, why are you calling us?
Well, I'm calling you because I think I have a problem. I have a 1993 Ford Explorer with 120,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, who lives next door, is 38 years old. It's important I tell you her age. Borrowed my car one evening to take her boys home. They live about a quarter of a mile if you have to walk, and it was dark, and we have coyotes and mountain lions. And
oh, yeah, you don't walk at night if you don't have to.
So we let her borrow the car. She brought it back, and I kept saying, I hear a car, and my husband kept saying, no, you don't. Mm-hmm. Well, in the morning at 5 o'clock when he went out to feed our animals, the car was in the driveway, and it was still running. He got out of the car and forgot to shut the ignition off.
Really?
Yeah, but she's not a Yahoo.
She's a little preoccupied, perhaps.
So the car idled for 7 hours or more.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if we need to take the compressor and blow out the engine, or if carbon builds up or something.
What? Why is her age important to this?
Because she's old enough to know better.
I thought she was having some kind of midlife crisis or something.
I won't tell her that.
But she's a little too young for a midlife crisis.
I know.
Although I'm not sure with women when it happens.
These kind of things are happening an awful lot lately.
Yeah. And does the car run fine now?
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to drive it very far or very fast because I don't want something to happen to me. And I don't know if there's a bunch of carbon in there.
Forget about it.
As they say in Boston's North End,
forget about it.
But my dad used to say if the car had sat a while, he had to get it out on the highway and open it up.
Yeah, and he was right.
He was
because
right.
His car had a carburetor in it.
Oh.
And
this thing is fuel injected, and it has many devices which are designed to keep the fuel air mixture exactly right and to change it when it goes astray. So,
well, did it go astray?
It may have, but you wouldn't have known it because you were sleeping.
The computer kept everything going perfectly all night long.
You mean those cars now? I don't have to worry about them.
You don't have to worry about that anymore.
Just drive it.
Just drive it. Forget about it and tell your daughter that she didn't do anything wrong. But
not to do it ever again.
Okay, I'll try it.
I mean, if something had happened in the night, for example, if the fan belt had broken, and rendering the water pump inactive, then, in fact, the thing could have overheated and it could have ruined the engine.
Okay.
But there are millions of engines the world over that run unsupervised for hours at a time, including God knows how many police cars.
Yeah, in front of
you go to a donut shop and you see a police car, they got it locked up. But they don't even lock. Who would steal a police car? The windows are down, the heat's on, the thing's been running for 4 hours while they're in there investigating the latest donut felony. And nothing happens to those things.
Right. And there are stationary engines that literally run all day and all night. So,
okay.
But they do have shutdown mechanisms, which your car doesn't have. For example, if the oil pressure drops off, the engine would shut down for those stationary engines. Your Explorer doesn't have that. But had anything like that happened, the engine would have been melted. The fact that it didn't melt meant that everything worked okay, and you can just forget about it, forget that it ever happened.
Okay. Fortunately, it was my daughter and not our son-in-law that did it.
Or better yet, not you.
Because you already think he's a dope, right?
Because she'd have accused you of having a senior moment.
See you, Kay.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rush Hamilton calling from Mystic, Connecticut.
Hi, Rush.
Rush!
Yeah.
What's happening, man?
Rush, is that your name, Rush?
That's what I go by. My real name is something else, but I go by Rush all the time.
Is it Thornton?
No.
Is it Shippen?
No, but it's almost as bad.
Is it Throckmorton?
you're getting closer.
You have to tell us what your real name is, and I'll tell you what my new name is. I have a new name.
You do?
Yeah. You first.
Me first?
Yeah.
Well, I tried it out the other night. I went with the pep to shoot pool at this local pool hall, and they make you give them a name, you know, to put your name on the list.
Yeah. So you tried a new name.
I tried my new name. Erasmo. And the gal behind the desk says, Erasmo?
You gotta be kidding.
She said, "You don't look like an Erasmo." I said, "You know why? That's not my name."
Erasmo's good.
Yeah, I think I would use Erasmo before I use my real name, which is Richard Stedman Hambleton III.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why, can I use that?
No, go ahead. I won't be using it. You can have it all you like. Yeah. No problem
Richard
there.
Stedman Richard Stedman Hambleton III.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right, that is a rather blue blood name.
Heck, it is a ball. He lives
especially
in Connecticut.
Especially for a guy driving a 27-year-old car, which is what the problem is.
Oh, yeah, it sure is.
Okay, what is it?
The car, it's a 73 Land Rover. And the problem started when I came back from Thanksgiving. I went home to California to see my parents, came back, picked the car up in a parking garage, and from the moment I opened the door, it just smelled. I just couldn't believe so much smell coming from a car.
Oh.
And it was at night. I pulled out, paid for the parking, and then as I was getting on the highway, and it was cold with the heater on, it got worse and worse and worse, and finally had to pull over. And I turned the light on and investigated what happened. It turns out I had left a container of butter in what would be the glove box. On this car, the glove box is more like a trough. It runs about two-thirds the width of the car.
Yeah, I know it.
And the butter had melted in the warm parking garage.
And turned rancid.
Yeah, but it did more than that. I cleaned that out pretty well. I went to a gas station and used that, bought a whole thing of sort of detergent-y stuff and used their windshield wiper cleaner, all kinds of stuff, and cleaned that pretty well. The problem still persists, and what's happened is, I think, it's gone down into the heater vents and into the heating system.
Oh!
So it's in there.
Yeah. How close are you to, like, Fort Dix, New Jersey?
Pretty far, and I wouldn't want to drive with the smell. What's your thought?
What, a flamethrower. Yeah, I can say with some conviction that you will never get this smell out.
Oh,
like
stop
conventional
it.
Mean. Never.
No.
It has permeated every...
Nah.
Every space. If you got two molecules, one of these smell molecules is stuck in between them.
Well, here's what I tried. I sprayed some Lysol into the intake.
Not strong enough.
Right, but it was strong to do something to the bearings on the blower motor. So I'll
yeah,
into one of those.
It is strong enough to do that.
Yeah. And the other thing I've done is, since Christmas, I filled the car with Christmas greens. You know when you go to a Christmas tree farm?
Sure. Yeah, see, you can't try to cover up a smell like this. Mm. Because it's only temporary. I mean, you could put anything in there and you could cover it up for a day or two. But as soon as that stuff wears away, man.
This reminds me of a funny story. We had this old guy who used to bring his Jeep, as a matter of fact. It was a Jeep Cherokee or something, to our shop. And he had taken over the years to living in the car, I think, or to at least he had been using the car as his personal refrigerator / garbage disposal.
Yeah.
The odor in his car could absolutely kill you. And none of my guys would drive the thing. And we had it in for a rather large repair. And when the job was all done, we had left the thing.
Someone had to test drive it.
No, we all refused. We drew the straw, and the guy who drew the short straw threatened to quit. So we said, he'll test drive it. We'll leave it up to the customer. And he comes to get the vehicle, and I just tell him that it's parked in the shop, and he'll have to back it out himself. And he says, of course, all my guys at this time were hiding in the bathroom. Seven of them in one stall. And I tell him, he pays his bill, and I say, the keys are in. He says, oh, could you back it out for me? I have a stiff neck. At which point I hear seven guys
laughing their butts off.
And as luck would have it, I get in the thing to drive it out. I hyperventilate, take a few deep breaths. I get in, I hold my breath, I start the thing up, I start to back out, and it stalls on me.
Serves you right. Poetic justice.
Oh, God. Anyway, what were you doing with a stick of butter in the car?
Some friends were having sort of a breakfast kind of party kind of thing, and so we had pancakes, and they were out of butter, and they asked me to bring it, so I did, but then I forgot that it was there.
Oh.
And you know, since then, I've looking like Ace Ventura with my head out the window.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's incredible.
Over the years, I mean, we have had lots of people suggest solutions to this kind of a problem, and I don't remember any of them, of course.
Well, freshly roasted coffee.
Oh, coffee's
good.
But I'll tell you, there's no substitute whatsoever for getting to the absolute root cause of it.
Absolutely.
You have to remove every little tidbit of whatever butter remains in that thing out by whatever means is necessary.
You know, I'm really intrigued by this coffee idea. Any chance you could just throw some beans down there and get sort of the roasting coffee smell? Maybe put the beans somehow just down where the...
Well, but the thing is, you might say to yourself, I can wait it out.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that you won't wait it out. You'll die first.
Yeah.
You will. I mean,
either that or you're going to have your head taken off by a truck's mirror
right.
as you go by.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus. Shipping Bradshaw the Fourth, I wish we could have helped you, and we can't.
But take the dash off and expose the heater core, and if need be, take the heater core out and have it steam cleaned by somebody. It's probably penetrated all the little passages.
Well, it might not.
Honeycomb.
If you're lucky, it's not on the heater core itself, but it's just on the box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the season. Take it apart, man. Wait till the first warm day and get out there and just rip it apart.
First warm day, you'll be dead.
Yeah, do it sooner. Good luck, Rush.
All right, thanks, fellas. Nah,
bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Of course I remember last week's puzzler. Last week's puzzler was about the Bugatti and the Renault.
Okay, I didn't think so. Okay.
No,
it was about our esteemed producer and a little problem he had. Our producer, remember him?
We have a producer?
So that's with a B. B. B.
Big Mouth. Oh, yeah.
Bozo
Berman.
Anyway, I'll tell you what the puzzler was and give you the answer in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Friday night, most people, yeah. Bearded man pulls drinks. Everybody's looking good, though not as good as they think. Latitude is everything, just a lady at your open door. Everybody's pushing to get a spot on the checking dance.
And even though the NPR nurse checks her Petri dish to see how the laryngitis germs are coming along whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Are you ready to take your career to the next level? Well, LifeKit's here to be your career counselor. All this week, we'll have episodes to help you plan your next career move. We'll give our best tips for asking for a raise, finding a mentor, switching careers, and much more. Listen now to the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
What was the question? Oh, you're going to tell us?
I'm going to give you the question first.
And the answer.
I could just give you just the answer? Maybe I should just do that.
You should just do that.
Long, long ago when he was but a lad, our producer, Dougie Berman, had three girlfriends. This was before he was married, I think.
Now he's only got two.
Anyway, he had three girlfriends and he would juggle them. On Monday, he would visit one. Tuesday, he'd visit another. And Wednesday, the third one. And then he'd repeat the process. And each time he would make one of these visits, he would drive his car. But before he could drive his car, because it was a real heap, he'd have to go through a little ritual. He would open the hood. He'd have to top off the coolant because he was leaking coolant.
Uh-huh.
He'd have to top off the power steering fluid. That leaked too. He'd have to fill up the oil because he was burning oil like crazy. Blew smoke out the tailpipe, the whole bit, you know. Anyway, he closes the hood, drives to girlfriend number one's house, and pulls into the driveway and parks the car. He follows the same procedure each day. He pulls as far into the driveway as he can so the other girlfriends won't see this jalopy because it's
recognizable.
Easily recognized.
Yeah.
He does this for girlfriend number one on Monday, number two on Tuesday, number three on Wednesday. But when he pulls into girlfriend number three's driveway, an interesting thing happens. Fire erupts under the hood. The thing bursts into flames, at which point he jumps out of the car, throws open the hood, removes his pants, and beats out the flames.
Wow.
Once the fire is out, he goes into the house and tries to explain to her parents why he's coming to meet her with no pants on. This goes on and on.
Dougie, you did all this? I'm impressed, man.
Girlfriend number one, no problem. Yeah. Girlfriend number two, no problem. Number three, same problem.
Yeah.
Burst into flames.
Yeah.
He can't explain it. He takes this as an omen and dumps the other two, figuring any girl that can set his pants on fire is going to be worth sticking around with. So now you have all the facts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a rather lengthy narrative.
Yeah, I just figured it out as you were speaking.
What is it about his visit to girlfriend number three that causes this conflagration under the hood and ultimately in his pants?
Does it have something to do with power steering fluid and the shape of the driveway?
Exactly.
Does it?
You looked at my notes.
No. No, just,
exactly right.
Just
I mentioned earlier in the story that he added coolant.
Yeah.
He's leaking coolant. He's adding oil, but he's burning oil.
Burning the oil. The coolant's not going to.
He adds power steering fluid.
Power steering fluid.
When he pulls into the driveway of girlfriend number three, he has to make a very sharp turn. He has a leak in the high pressure power steering hose. And when the wheel is cut all the way, the increased pressure in the system
squirts it out
onto the hot exhaust manifold, and that small amount of fluid, whoop, bursts into flame.
Yeah.
And we know the rest of the story.
Gets now out, you
takes,
know.
Takes his pants off, et cetera, et cetera. And it was only because she had a driveway that had a much sharper turn than the other two.
Wow.
That he had to remove his pants.
And that's how Sip became Mrs. Doug Berman.
How unfortunate,
wow.
Huh?
Poor kid.
And who might our winner be this week, Tommy?
Oh, I don't know. Wait a minute. Here it is. The winner is Ed Clopton from Iowa City, Iowa. And for having this correct answer chosen at random from among the thousands of right answers that we got this week, maybe three.
Four.
Our buddy Ed Clopton was going to get one of our Car Talk t-shirts. Congratulations to Ed Clopton from Iowa City, Iowa. That's so he'll spend $5 and buy the tape of this show because his name is so prominently mentioned. And that $5 will go toward pieces for my dart.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler. I'm going to have to call it Quasi-Automotive.
Yes, Master.
Puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. So don't touch that dial. Right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is one is Murray Hill 4.
In New Jersey.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Phil from Swisher, Iowa.
Where are you from?
Swisher, Iowa.
Swisher?
I bet you don't know where that is, Tom.
Iowa. Let's see. I'm Swisher, Iowa. Iowa.
Iowa.
Metropolis.
It's a thriving
is
metropolis.
Is it anywhere near Midway?
Fairly close to Midway.
Fairview.
And right in between Fairview and Midway.
Springfield.
Right.
the only town in Iowa, I only know two cities in Iowa, Ames and Iowa City.
Oh, no, you know more than that. You know Cedar Rapids.
Well, I'm very close.
Des Moines.
To Cedar Rapids and to Iowa City.
Never heard of any of them.
I mean, for such an underpopulated place, Iowa probably has more recognizable names.
I wonder why that is. What's the population of Iowa? Like
half
a million people?
Oh, I think it's about 3 million.
3 million?
Mm-hmm.
3 million.
So, Phil, I know I shouldn't say what prompts you to call us, because in Swisher, what else is there to do but listen to the radio and call us.
Watch the corn grow, but this is the wrong season for that. So
what's...
You found me out.
What's up?
I have an 88 Honda Accord that has a shift lever that just vibrates like crazy when I'm accelerating
up
to 55.
Oh, a standard shift.
Yeah, it's a 5-speed.
Yeah.
And it only happens under acceleration at those highway speeds, you know, 55 up to 90.
Up to 90.
But when you... So if you're not accelerating, but going at a steady 75, it will not vibrate?
Oh, yeah.
It vibrates less going at a steady speed. When I'm accelerating hard, it vibrates a lot more.
Yeah.
And when you say vibrate, does it visibly vibrate or just make the noise?
Yeah, it vibrates so much you can't read the little numbers on it.
Yeah.
So it is
so
vibrating.
You could, if you would have grabbed it with your hand, you would damp the vibration, or would your hand begin to vibrate so that you wouldn't be able to see your fingers?
No, it doesn't. It isn't that violent.
Okay. Now, where was I?
I don't know. I have no idea what you had.
Does the rest of the car shake, or is this the only piece that vibrates?
Well, my radar detector vibrates also.
Yeah.
And the passenger seat, if unoccupied, does a little shake as well.
You're going too fast.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What else is there to do in Iowa?
Do out here in Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could be a lot of different things. However, we have seen many shaking shifters on Hondas, and it's usually because the bushings are worn out.
Shaking shifter and swisher.
Yes.
I like it.
The bushings, the shifting is accomplished through a long rod that goes from your shifter all the way up to the transaxle. And there are rubber bushings with nuts and bolts and whatever that hold them at each end. And it's possible that the rubber bushings are worn out, and that's why the thing is shaking a lot.
But if other things are shaking as well, I mean, have you checked anything, wheel balance?
No, everything shakes, but what's making the handle shake is that these bushings are worn out. If these were tight, you wouldn't call us up to tell us your radar detector was shaking, would you?
No.
You're worried about the shifter.
Right.
You're afraid the knob's going to come unscrewed and fall off on the floor under the seat. You won't be able to tell what gear you're in.
That's right. No, I've had a lot of other things checked. I've had the front tires rebalanced. I've had new struts put on it.
Oh, okay, good.
I asked the mechanic to check my tie rods the last time I had it in.
Good.
And he said, no, that would vibrate like crazy all the time if they were worn. Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, it was remiss of him not to check them. It only takes a minute.
Well, he did check them.
He said
he did. They were fine.
Oh, okay.
And
good.
He said, I didn't know about ball joints, and I'm a kind of an ignoramus when it comes to automotives.
I'll let you talk directly to my brother then.
Okay. I'm an ignoramus about everything. Yeah.
Well, I'll try the bushing idea. Yeah. They can replace. Is that something that can be replaced?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they may be able to even tighten up one end of it. I mean, it's possible that they can tighten the thing up. But I wouldn't be too worried about it. And try to keep it, you know, below Mach 1.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Phil.
Will do. Thank
you, Phil.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Susan from Burlington, North Carolina.
Hi, Susan.
Burlington,
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Which part of North Carolina is Burlington in?
It's near Greensboro, not too far from Chapel Hill. Really
gotcha.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We know where it is.
Good.
There's a Burlington in every state
just about
in the United States.
Just about, yeah.
No one knows that.
No.
I agree. I think you might be right.
I doubt it. Anyway, Susan, why did you call us today?
I called in regard to my 91 Ford Explorer.
Yeah?
I'm calling in regard to a whoosh. When I start the car up in the morning in my garage, I back up and I put the car in drive and I start going down my driveway, which is nice and straight, fairly long driveway, suburban driveway, and it sounds like the car is getting ready to take off like a jet airplane.
Oh.
Whoosh.
Oh. Like a roar.
It's
more a roar.
Whoosh.
A roar. Would you call it a roar?
I would call it
a jet engine roar?
It's almost a roar.
Almost.
It could be classified as a roar.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you. I mean, we could stumble around with this for a long time, but I the other day I was in the library at the shop.
Yeah. And yeah.
And I get all these magazines. Not those mag. I get these Motor Age and all these motor magazines, all these Motorhead magazines.
Right.
And they're full of service tips and technical service bulletins and whatever. And there I am, sitting down, reading one of these articles about the roar from Explorers.
No kidding!
Do all Explorers have
And everyone roars? Thought you were wasting time. And then you were learning something that was going to be useful to you just a few days later.
Just a few days later.
How fortunate.
And what it is, what the roar is,
yep.
is a faulty fan clutch. You know, this thing has a fan like cars of yesteryear have that's driven by the engine that cools the air, that cools the radiator. It pulls air in through the radiator and cools off the coolant. And this thing has a clutch on it, a thermostatically controlled clutch, except that these are faulty. So that the thing is turning at full speed when the engine first starts,
yes.
or within a few seconds of its starting, and it shouldn't be. And that's what makes the roar.
Because
no,
it does kick out. It seems to me that it's doing it as I accelerate, and then as I get up to speed, it kicks out.
Yeah, so, it will. It doesn't really kick out. It gets subsumed. The noise gets diminished because of all the other noises that are around you, And I have heard other explorers do the same thing. You start the thing up, and it sounds like you're at the airport.
Exactly.
Taxiing for the takeoff.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's the fan clutch.
Well, is that an easy thing to replace?
Well, you don't even have to. I mean, if it really bothers you, yeah, there is a new fan clutch, which doesn't have this defect, which you can get from your Ford dealer.
But if I can live with the roar...
You can live with the roar, you can leave it alone. I mean, if I were really on top of things, I would tell you the technical service bulletin. But I don't... Really.
You didn't file that away.
No.
But it's probably going to cost a few hundred bucks to replace it.
I can live with the roar.
But if you can live with the roar and spend the 200 bucks on a dinner somewhere in a fancy restaurant, why not?
I could live with the roar.
Of course.
Now, if you had your choice, what would you spend the 200 bucks on?
Oh, well...
This is the difference between guys and gals.
See, the guy would buy a torque wrench.
You know what?
And five cigars.
We probably already have a torque wrench.
Oh, you do?
I'd have to buy some clothes, I guess.
Clothes. There you go.
Yeah,
I knew it. Yeah. A dress, I figured.
What can I say?
Yeah, well, that's okay.
See, now my wife would probably buy me a gift.
Yeah, right.
With the 200 bucks.
You think so?
No.
No. Not really.
Not going to happen.
Live with the noise, Susan. It's okay.
I feel much better.
All right. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Leo from Pennsylvania.
Leo.
I got a sort of a family issue. It's a small question, but it causes a family problem here for me.
Yeah.
When I go to the gas station, especially in the winter, since I have a car with heated seats, I like to keep the car running and just fill it up with gas and never turn it off and, you know, just zoom out.
It's illegal, isn't it?
I don't know, but the problem is the wife immediately turns the key. You know, she insisted we're in danger of blowing up or something, and I've never blown up, and I just wanted to know, you know, who's
yet.
Right. Is she?
Well, most people who have blown up haven't mentioned it.
Well, we haven't had any calls from them.
Okay.
To warn us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think the danger is that it's going to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
here's the danger.
At some level, that is the danger.
But I think the larger danger is this. If the car is running, it uh-huh. just removes one more step of the process of getting the car moving.
Mm-hmm.
So that if somebody were to nudge the shifter, for example,
uh-huh.
it's possible then for the car to jerk. Let's say you had a standard shift car.
Right.
And while it's sitting there running in neutral, somebody, like your dog, jumps
okay.
to get its plaything and shifts the thing into first gear, at which point the car would shoot forward.
Uh-huh.
And it would yank that hose probably right out of its socket at the other end of the pump.
Right.
And it would begin to spray gasoline all over the filling station, including your pants.
I see.
And you got it?
Yeah.
I think that's the primary reason that you shut the car off.
And it is illegal in most states, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I mean, isn't there a sign that says, when you pull into the gas station, that says turn off engine?
But it's kind of like, you know, those, you know, the cups, you know, you go and you get a cup of a hot drink and it says, careful, this may
burn
you.
Yeah, don't spill this on your lap,
you
may have to sue us.
All right. So you recommend, so you side more with her.
Not more with her. 100%, Leo. I mean,
okay.
Let's get it straight. We're not on your side at all.
All right, so I won't be doing any more misdemeanors then.
So you're taking the basic guy's approach. Let me get this right now.
Yeah.
The basic guy's approach is, there are rules about lots of things.
Right.
And we don't really have to pay much attention to most of that
stuff.
No,
you know why?
Because it's for idiots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Most
exactly.
guys believe the rules are for morons.
Exactly.
Just like most speeders are guys because... The speed limits are made for people who don't know how to handle their cars.
That's right, but I have great reflexes, and I can see 10 miles ahead of me.
And I can drive on the
right.
sidewalk.
So there's no reason for me not to drive 75 miles an hour, even though it says 50 miles an hour. The limit is for little old ladies.
So the logic is irrefutable to me.
All right, I'll just tell her it's a guy thing.
Hey,
all right.
You do what you think is best, Leo.
You have a garage with heat
that you can sleep in?
You'll be sleeping there
all
tonight.
Right. Hey,
Leo.
Thank you.
That's a good question. Thanks for calling.
I appreciate it.
See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I think it's the case that I think if you surveyed people,
yeah.
you would find that most guys obey the rules selectively.
Well,
and most women obey all the rules. My wife would never think of parking at a meter without putting money in it. When was the last time you put money in a parking meter?
parking meter.
All right, I rest my case. Well, look, we're at that point.
You put the, don't you have a little 3x5 card that says meter broken? And you put, I got it with the duct tape stuck right to it.
Dymo labeled.
It's stuck right to the dashboard.
Well, look, we're at that point of the show again. You know that point?
Is this where the NPR higher-ups parade two real mechanics by our studio and glare at us threateningly? Is that it?
No, this is where we take a break to prepare for the new puzzler.
Ah, good. We'll be back in just a minute.
I was trying to make my way to Boston, the only town I ever got lost in. Well, I wound up going the wrong way on a one-way street, when a big old Mass state trooper I did meet said, "Back the truck up, or I'll lock you up. Well, your papers are out of date, and you're keeping me here too late. I won't say it again, just back the truck up."
And even though Terry Gross fishes that brochure for auctioneer's school out of the trash whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from NPR and Car Talk sponsor CarMax. At CarMax, the best way to buy a car is your way. Shop on your schedule and choose from over 50,000 CarMax certified vehicles at CarMax.com. Check out 360-degree views, set up a trade-in appraisal, apply for financing, and buy online or in-store with curbside pickup and home delivery in select markets. Get all the details and start the search for your next car today at CarMax.com.
Here at Planet Money Industries, we've manufactured T-shirts, we've bought oil, we've even gone to space. But our next Planet Money series, well, let's just say a superhero is born. Coming to a podcast feed near you from NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Yeah?
New.
What series is this from? World Series?
Jeez, I don't know. I'll have to think.
It may stand alone.
It may stand alone at least for a few weeks.
Go ahead.
Turns out this rich old geezer passes away, and when his lawyer reads his will, he's surprised to find out that he's left his entire estate to his three ne'er-do-well nephews, Chip, Skip, and Nunzio. And did I say he was rich? Well, he had been rich.
Yeah.
But he had the good sense to spend most of his money on women and wine, and then like a fool, he squandered the rest. And he had left, the only thing he had left was 17 sports cars. So the lawyer and the three legatees, I guess you would call them,
Chip, Skip, and Nunzio,
show up at the carriage house to look at the cars. And the three of them walk in, and the lawyer says, "Oh, by the way, your uncle, in his will, left one-third of the cars to Chip, half of the cars to Skip, and a ninth of the cars to Nunzio." Mm. And they look at them and they say, "What do we do now?" There are 17 cars.
Yeah.
And they're ready to duke it out. They don't know how to divvy them up. The lawyer's no help. And who should waltz in? Krusty.
Yeah.
Krusty walks in and he looks around at the situation, overhears their conversation and their consternation, and he proposes a solution.
Yeah.
And the lawyer and the three inheritors say, "This is genius." The question is, what did he propose? And more importantly, why did it work? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, y'all. This is Ann from St. Louis.
What's up?
Well, I have a question about our 93 Grand Caravan.
Uh-huh.
We just made a trip down to Alabama. On the way, we got gas and noticed that none of the display panel stuff in front of the driver.
Mm.
You know, like the odometer, speedometer.
Yeah.
All blank.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you have on the dashboard, you have your gauges. You have a temperature gauge.
Right. That was all gone.
That didn't work.
Right.
How about the speedometer?
No. It didn't work. The odometer didn't work, the temperature gauge, and the oil.
Well, I have an answer for everything else but except for the speedometer.
The speedometer didn't work?
No.
Okay,
let's not change the question here. Ann knows what happened, for God's sakes. Let's not tell her what happened.
But we don't have an answer for Ann's question.
Shut up!
We might have an answer for a better
Shut
question.
Shut up! Let her finish telling the story. All right.
Okay.
Nothing on the dashboard works.
So then, like, 30 minutes later... everything came back on, just sort of magically.
Ooh.
Okay, now, that we thought was sort of an odd occurrence, and we didn't think it was going to happen again. But it did happen again.
Mm.
Twice, right after getting gas, and at the same kind of station. I know.
The same brand of gasoline.
Right.
And this sounds like such bull to me.
No, it is so real.
Did Doug Berman put you up to this? I mean, he does this from time to time, you
know. Come on. All right, well.
Have you been promised any NPR tote bags or anything, Ann?
All right, so you get gas again, and this is 350 miles later, right? Long time.
A long time later.
Long time later.
It's actually on the next trip down south. So the first one... You know, it happened on our first trip, and then the next two happened on Christmas, one on the way down and one on the way back.
Oh, so this didn't happen on the same trip.
No.
So the first time it happened only that one time.
Right.
And then you made it all the way down to Alabama and all the way back.
Right.
Nada.
Nada.
But driving around town in St. Louis, in the, you know, about your daily routine.
Right.
This never happens, even though you've driven it sometimes for hours at a time and then refueled.
Right.
And what kind of gas is it? Tell us. We'll avoid it like the plague.
They'll be out of business in a week.
it's Shell gasoline.
I knew they were no good.
Shell gasoline. And you don't have Shell gasoline in Missouri.
Well, we do, but it's just not very convenient to our house here.
Man, I mean, over the years, we have been faced with some difficult problems.
Some bizarre
situations.
Unexplainable phenomena.
Uh-huh.
But this one may be
all. We may need Scully and Mulder from the X-Files.
Oh, my God.
So let me get
First of all, we both are having trouble with the fact that what makes most of those gauges work is in no way related to the speedometer.
Oh, no, I've reconciled the speedometer thing.
Because you have?
Yes, because
How?
The speedometer is run by the vehicle speed sensor. It's electronic.
That's true.
Okay.
That is true.
Right, so somehow or another, you are getting a total electronic breakdown.
But yes, it's electronic, but they're not really related.
Well, all that is coming through one harness. Everything that feeds that dashboard display is coming through one bundle of wires. And that's why, my first inclination was the switch is bad.
How about this? When you stopped to get gas, did you ask them to check the oil?
No.
But as soon as they put the gas cap on, and as soon as you drove away, you noticed that the display was dead.
Absolutely.
Boy, well, now you know why the other guy sold it.
Boy. Wow. Ann, this is great. Well, I mean, the only conclusion we can come to is that we should advise all our listeners, avoid Shell gasoline at all costs. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, what other conclusion is reasonable? There is none.
None whatsoever.
And I'm sure that Shell will join us. They will join us. Do they? Do you think they themselves want this to happen?
And join us, I think, is the...
And join. That was the word. But, I mean, if I think probably they would say, good work, guys. Thank you for telling people to not come to Shell gasoline stations because we don't want this to be happening to people all over the country.
No.
Or in Alabama, even.
Shell isn't even an American company. What do we care?
Do they have American lawyers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Tons of them, so to speak.
Do we have American lawyers? No, we don't.
No, we have offshore attorneys.
Offshore.
Well, I mean, I can't come up with any logical explanation as to why refueling at a Shell station in Alabama and
wow.
it could be correlated in any way to losing your display.
Wow.
It's got to be completely coincidental. It may have to do with having run the vehicle for more hours than you're accustomed to, you know, at high speed or whatever.
Okay.
But it's going to be some kind of a wiring problem. But the only way you're going to figure this out is to go to a Dodge dealer and with the hope that there's a technical service bulletin on this.
Okay.
Because this, you can't be the only one to whom this has happened. Well, okay. Maybe you could. You could be the cornerstone, Ann,
yeah.
of a whole technical service bulletin movement.
Oh,
you
goodness.
Could be the first one to complain mm-hmm. about this.
On the other hand, Shell themselves may issue, unprecedented as it may seem, a technical service bulletin. Do not fill up the tank of Grand Caravans with Shell gasoline.
In Alabama.
Especially in Alabama.
Good luck, Ann. I'm sure we've helped.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for your call.
Wow.
Hey, what? 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Matthew. I'm 14 years old, and I'm from Savannah, Georgia.
Hi, Matthew. Savannah.
Yes.
Well, you haven't been any place probably, but is Savannah, I haven't been there. Is it a wonderful city?
It is a nice city. It is. It's a very nice city.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about Savannah, but I have always, it's always been an attraction
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, I guess, because of the architecture of the buildings.
Right, that antebellum architecture.
The antebellum, yeah. I love that antebellum stuff.
Yeah. Uncle Bellum did a pretty good job, too, but Auntie did most of the heavy-duty work.
And it's mostly warm, right, in Savannah?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and in the winter, we have our few brutal cold days, but yeah, it's mostly warm year-round.
And I have one other question. Are there two N's in Savannah?
Yes, there are. Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
All right, Matt, we've badgered you enough. What's on your mind?
Okay, like I said, I'm 14, and I've got the wonderful job of cleaning my parents' car. I'm washing, I mean, the outside of it.
What did you do wrong?
Well, I don't know. That's what I need.
What do you mean? What did he do wrong? They give him a roof over his head. They give him 3 squares a day, if not 6. I mean, they give him put the clothes on his back, and they say, "Matt, how about you like wash the car like once a month, and we'll give you this $10,000 worth of food every day."
Well, it's amazing how selective one's memory could be.
Yeah.
And I recently asked my parents how forthcoming I was regarding chores when I was a teenager. Because my kids, what's the word, never did squat. Have never done squat.
Yeah, in any event.
Well, when I asked Mom and Dad about this, they said that I didn't do squat either. But I don't remember that.
All right, so they ask you to wash the car once
right.
in a while.
They have a 96 Plymouth Grand Voyager.
Yeah.
When I wash it, round watermarks are left on the windows. The windows are the worst.
Yeah.
Especially the side view mirrors.
Yeah.
I cannot wash those little watermarks off.
Maybe there's some problem with the definition of the word wash.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what my parents thought. But, I mean, they've got out there and helped me. And it No, I mean, I'm washing, scrubbing.
So, I mean, do you use soap?
Yes, I use car soap.
Okay, so you don't just hose it down?
No.
He's using the genuine.
Do you own the following? A chamois?
Yes.
Bless your heart.
Do you own a chihuahua, though? That's the real question.
What's a chihuahua?
I don't know, but I see it advertised on television. It's a chamois on a stick.
A chamois's good. And do you own a squeegee?
Well, yes, I do own one, but I've never used it.
Yeah, well, you got to use that. That will get rid of all the droplets on the windows. Trouble is, it's not small enough to get onto the rearview mirrors.
Right. So you're telling me all this scrubbing in the windows is not going to help, but the squeegee will do it for me?
Oh, yeah. The squeegees is the answer. Squeegees are great.
All right, but what about the side view mirrors?
The side view mirrors, I would use a piece of newspaper.
Cover them up?
And Windex.
Okay.
I mean, are they on your case about this, Matt? Or is it, you know,
no,
I mean, you're doing your level best.
No, it's becoming a personal frustration.
Yeah, okay.
I sit out there and I wash the car and it looks awful. I mean, it's not that bright, shiny that everybody else is on my street is.
So they haven't actually complained about this?
No, I mean, they know that I'm working and...
Yeah.
They want to know the answer too.
All right, let me let you in on a little man secret here, Matt.
Okay.
You're only a 14-year-old kid, and you need a little advice from a
little,
man.
A little manly advice.
Manly advice. When you get older, you'll probably meet some wonderful woman, and you'll probably fall in love, and you'll be married to her.
Right.
And she, too, will ask you to do things like wash the car, wash the windows, do something around the house, fix things.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn right now that you have to screw up everything. Because if you do it right, she's going to ask you to do it again.
Or worse than that, ask you to do more stuff.
Or more things.
Figure out you're competent. You have to demonstrate incompetence.
Incompetence.
Right from the
it's
get-go.
Marital
you have to be smart about
incompetence.
It.
And you and little by little, they will come to understand that you cannot really do anything right. Ask you to wipe the dishes, you drop one out of three. They break on the floor. She says, I'm never going to ask you to help me do the dishes again.
Hey, smart.
Huh? Laundry.
Yeah, mix all the colors
all
together.
All the colors together and throw in 2 cups of bleach.
Right.
And make sure you do this every single time and you will never go near a washing machine
And be
again.
Very apologetic and show a willingness to learn.
Yeah.
But,
oh, honey,
an inability
I'm so
to learn,
sorry.
Nonetheless.
Yeah. So
that's the best advice we can give you, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the road here. I forget the advice about the squeegee. Think, I never said that. Just continue doing what you're doing and get as many of these little droplets to dry up on there. And I would try, do you have a wire brush?
No.
You know, well, buy one. Go down to the hardware store. Okay. You can buy a wire brush with a nice long handle on it. Mm-hmm. And for those pesky spots on the fender.
Wire brush.
Wire brush them.
Or you can use Brillo.
And you won't. Brillo's good, too. And you won't have to be doing this job much longer.
Yeah. I mean, on a serious note, you might try adding a few drops of dishwashing liquid.
Yes.
Okay.
Like Ivory liquid or one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Because that makes things sheet.
Exactly.
Right.
And it might eliminate the spots.
Okay.
There you go. Good luck, Matthew.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hope they let you out of your room after all this.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You vaporized yet another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his stunning victory at the Twin Cities Fruited Jello Moldoff, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Is he here? No.
No. He's back, but he's recuperating. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman, who is not related to our tailor, of course, Euripides Imenides, or to our staff bouncer, Euripides I Break Your Face, or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Shakespearean waiter is Coffee Anon. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Plaza Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Chidman, Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the best and the brightest pigeons in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Please. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our poorly curated clothing and best of collections all over at CarTalk.com.
Also this week at CarTalk.com, a great alternative to the trade-in.
Yeah, instead of trading in your old car and getting $14 for it, think about donating it to benefit your public radio station.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Did you say you know where I can get $14 for a trade-in?
Well, not for your heap, bud.
All right, check out the Car Talk vehicle donation program all week at CarTalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Italian-Americans line up to change their last names to Wilcox whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.